Hi, I'm George.
I'm Dan.
I'm Rick.
And we are Queer Magnolias,
the podcast.
Each episode, we're going to talk about what it was like growing up gay in the South.
The trials and the tribulations.
The joy and the struggle.
And more importantly, how we became who we are today.
Oh, honey, queer and fabulous.
So come on in, y'all, and get comfortable, Shug.
Kick off your shoes and sit a spell.
And at the end of each episode, we're going to meet up out on the front porch for my favorite part of the podcast,
Happy Hour.
So join us for an all-you-can-eat buffet of cutting up,
foolishness, and carrying on.
Always served with a heaping helping of sass.
And that's a Queer Magnolias guarantee.
Looking in the mirror and seeing your reflection.
Hey, girl.
Imagining how you look in a group of friends or at a party. Society has a way of influencing us, molding us into an image for the masses. Welcome back to Queer Magnolias. Today, we will be discussing the topic of body image. And like RuPaul says, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love anyone else? Can I get an amen?
Yes, amen.
I feel pretty, oh so pretty. I feel pretty and witty and gay.
That's so gay.
Every day, honey.
Every day, baby. Yes. Every day.
Well, I don't know about y'all. I know we were supposed to start this episode off by talking about body image, but given the last couple of weeks for, I don't know, Danny and me both, maybe we should be talking about body issues.
What?
Like trying to get up off the couch.
Oh, girl.
My arm still hurts.
I mean, I can't pick my legs up to get up the steps anymore. Like, shit, can I just sleep on the couch tonight?
Falling apart, honey. Yeah,
sometimes you get down to the garage and you say, oh, fuck it, I'll just lean the seat back and sleep right here for tonight.
I can get down. It's the getting up. It's the problem.
Honey, help
do
mama
I really
up.
Need to take these groceries into the house? They'll be all right. It's cool enough out here.
Y'all ain't right.
I'll get down there and do my business if somebody will help me back up.
That's right. Help the old lady.
Right. Hey. Middle-aged.
It's a very important clause. In the
yes,
you need
it
to help
is.
A bitch up, honey.
Right.
Help a bitch up.
Don't leave me down here stranded.
Get that signature on the line, honey.
I'm going to need one of those life alert buttons soon, honey. I've fallen and I can't get up.
Oh, I can't wait to get that alert. I'm calling George and Jake and be like, she fell, bitches, let's go. Come on. Bring the camera.
Leave her down there, honey.
We got to raid the bar.
Roll her over. She'll be able to get up eventually.
Ridiculous.
Honey, sometimes I feel like a turtle. On its back, you know, it's like, oh, fuck, really? Somebody push.
Wasn't this the aging episode that we thought was the cheese episode or something?
I don't know. You
I'm
say,
not talking about cheese.
You say turtle on your back and all I can picture is that rollaway bed.
You get in where you can fit in.
Same in, honey.
You rolled in, honey. In and out, in and out.
Anyway.
Well, you know, we've given y'all a flashback of previous episodes, we may or may not get to body image.
It's the best of, honey.
That's it.
Exactly. It's a recap episode. But I don't know about for you guys, but for me, growing up in the South, there wasn't always a lot of emphasis, at least in our community, in our household, there wasn't a lot of emphasis put on fitness. It always seemed you either lived in one of two groups. You either participated in sports, and that was your fitness. Or the focus was on comfort food or or
it
beer or lazy summer days or you know, the recliner in the living room.
Pass the fried chicken.
Exactly.
Oh, right.
And so in the early days of We Rickdom.
Say that three times fast.
Don't do it.
Cheers.
I actually did play baseball. Not well, mind you, but I did try.
Oh, please.
That was
softball. That was, if no, anything,
there it was no catch base. In the yard with the dog.
Precisely.
He was frisbee-like. I always did make a great catcher, see. Post cheerleading, when I didn't make the cheerleading thing, I went to Little League, and yeah, so it is. Yeah, anyway, and I did used to run as well. I started running when I got into
into juvenile detention.
When I got into middle school.
When you had a television under your arm, you began to run a lot quicker.
Run fast, girl.
Run, Forrest, run.
Ride it like stole it.
I'll see.
Because you probably did. Anyway, but then when I started smoking at 16, I think that put an end to all that shit. Honey. So, a pack of cigarettes and a pregnancy scare, honey, is all you need.
That'll get you to eating comfort food and banana pudding right there.
Mashed potato salad.
Right.
That's right.
A second heaping helping.
Yeah, so fitness was a thing of the past, if we will, honey. So I moved into that other category.
That's something unique. I don't think I've ever thought of that. I don't remember ever seeing a person run outside of a schoolhouse my entire growing up. Not one time did I see a person running, you know, and running is a very popular sport. I mean, lots and lots and lots of people run, and I never saw that growing up, ever.
See, and I think for me growing up, it was a bit different because I was a kid in the 80s when, like, you know, exercise was
She's trying to say
everything.
We're a child of the 60s, honey.
What I'm saying is aerobics and leg warmers and Reeboks.
Oh, true.
I loved that aerobics.
Were huge in the 80s. So I think, you know, everybody was jogging. And what I really remember growing up that affected me and my body image issues,
which is also
hard to say three times fast.
Right. Warmers.
No, it definitely wasn't the leg warmers. I had that part covered. I think what it was for me, and I think as we've discussed in past episodes about role models, is there was no representation as a kid for me to look at to find like queer role models. So I would usually look at female characters in like movies or television.
Right.
And during the 80s, every one of those characters that I loved and looked up to was always on a diet.
Yes,
if you weren't on
right.
a diet in the 80s, you weren't pretty. And I wanted to be the prettiest, so.
So you were on all the diets.
So, I mean, I became obsessed with like dieting as a kid, which is such a weird thing, I think, for children to become obsessed with. Like, I still remember, like, going out to dinner with, like, grandparents and somebody like, oh, I can't eat that. I'm on a diet.
That never happened to me. But, you know, so I recognize that as well because, as I've said several times before, my mom was the size of a supermodel.
Yeah.
She never dieted a day in her life. And I do know this as an adult. She really, really did not like people who were overweight. And she would often talk about that. Yet, her child was overweight and I remember one time she said something about a diet and then probably fried pork chops for dinner. So she had no concept of what a diet was because she was never, ever on
one. Of course.
She really always thought I was overweight, and I was. I was a chunky child. And I look back, and it's part of what shapes us. This is that nurture versus nature thing. This was definitely the nurture. My mom was independently thin. My dad was voted the most handsome man in his class every year in school.
Oh, wow.
Now, my mom was very plain. She never wore makeup. She wasn't the most pretty person, but she had a shape on her that very few people could rival at all. Mm. But I grew up with these things of, oh, well, you know, you could be a little thinner and
right,
then
the
here
standards.
Have some fry.
The standards to live up
you know,
to.
Precisely. And I did not come with a good self-confidence. I came with just the opposite. And so every Sunday we went to buffet.
Right. Right.
And of course I wanted to try all of it. You know, here's something I've not
had. Well,
yeah,
it's all you can eat.
Girl.
I'm going to eat it all.
Well, precisely. And then it's funny because, so we do these things that are counterintuitive to what my mom was looking for. And bless her, she never said you're fat and ugly and any of that. I had friends whose parents were cruel like that. Mine were not, but I never had someone to instill in me that you could be perfect just the way you are.
Yes.
And if we do a few other things over here, it might be different. Because let me tell you what, the one thing that could scare a little boy like me to death was the Husky department at Sears. And that's where my fat ass was every year for school clothes, honey, was in the Husky department. I had a big butt on me. I'm missing it now because my butt's a little flatter now. I'm like, damn, it sort of looked right nice.
You had that Kardashian ass on you.
Yes. I was dropping it like it was hot because it was.
See? And they're going to go stick a Husky label on
it. Right. Right. Oh, it's just wrong.
And, you know, it wasn't like it was discreet. It's like the whole back pocket of the jeans.
It said fucking Husky on it.
It's like that little belt, the leather belt thing on the back said Husky.
Right. It's as if it had a beeper on the back when you banged that beep, 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 beep. No, No, ma'am. We not having none of this. And my waist was thin. And so it was like, I've always worn a belt my entire life. And it's because of that reason. I couldn't wear it. Go without a belt when I was a child because I'd have had plumber's crack all over the place. So I was like, no.
I remember finding on Pinterest once, like this vintage advertising for little girls' clothes. This is probably like the 50s or the 60s. And it was for little girls that were like a little bigger. So it was the girl equivalent of Huskies, and the department was called Chubbies.
Oh, shit. That is
oh,
true.
Oh, my God. I don't think I've ever seen that, Chubbies.
I've actually seen a couple of ads like that.
And yikes. They're big.
And I don't think this one was Sears. I actually think, and so I'm probably wrong about this, and if anyone knows, please do chime in with the correction, but I actually think that was Dayton's. Mm. Or an upper scale department store in the Midwest, but they had a section called Chubbies. And it's like, I mean, now Chubbies is at Pleasure Chest because that's a whole different kind of Chubby.
It means a whole different thing now, honey.
Chubbies, well, we like.
Taking back that word, honey.
But much like you, in my house, there was never someone there to say, you shouldn't do this, or you shouldn't eat that, or you should work out more. And there was never any of that. But yet somehow I still suffered from some sense of I don't look good enough, I'm too fat, I'm too short, all of these sort of insecurities that can become very overwhelming at times,
and they can become very internalized, and mm-hmm. you could live with them for a long time.
Yep.
In preparing for this episode, you know, of course we do talk about a few things here and there. I had a best friend in high school and into college who will remain nameless, somebody that I cared for a lot, and he cared for me, but he was so insecure, and he could never wait to tell me what someone had said about me.
Ugh.
And it was him. And yeah, precisely. And I remember,
call him out.
I remember at between high school and college, I lost more than 50 pounds because I'd gone to freshman orientation, and everybody was gorgeous.
I see.
I was like, oh, you know, if there's a way not to be fat as much, I'm going to take it. And I lost more than 50 pounds. And within the first month of college, my friend said to me, oh, this guy named Scott really likes you. But he said, you know, if you were just a little bit thinner. Never one time did he say, hey, look, what a great job you did losing 50-some right, pounds right. this summer. You know, trying
asshole.
To get that. Yeah, he was. And what I found out was the more it kept happening, I really began to realize how very insecure he was. And then I felt sorry for him. I also cut off being his best friend because I'm like, you know what? I need something for myself.
Well, I think you need to redefine what best friend means because, girl, that won't it.
No, it wasn't. But I think also that when you come with a self-confidence that has been eroded or yeah. it's not good, you look for someone who probably gives you exactly what you think you deserve.
Well, you know, it's
true.
You bringing that up, I think it brings up a good point because I think within the gay community – I think we gays are so critical. They're so critical of each other.
Oh, my God, yes.
And I've been known to do the same thing.
I mean, we all have.
I can raise my hand and say, as poor as my self-image is, I have looked at other people and thought certain things. I will say that I do stop short of saying it because I do realize how hurtful it is.
Yeah.
But and then, of course, as all you guys, if you've listened to any other podcast of ours, have already heard, I am obsessed with beauty. So I love beauty.
Yeah.
So, you know, if there's a 21-year-old who's gorgeous, come to the front of the line, sugar.
Of course. Like I said, you look at Instagram, you look at anything on social, all you see are these fucking superhero
yes,
bodies.
Yes.
Who can do that in the real world? I mean,
I can't do lifts and stuff like that. I'm holding a Tangeray and tonic, for God's sake. I mean, please.
You can lift the ice, the bag of ice. Just lift the bag of ice 30 times.
Much more than 5 pounds of a bag of ice. I'm out of breath.
But, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm going to look at the photos. Oh, right. All right?
Well, there's that.
But I think, I don't know about you guys, but for me, what happens is I start down this sort of vicious cycle of, well, how do I get to be like that?
I don't look like that. Yeah.
I'm not ever going to be like that. Yeah. It's hard not to compare yourself to somebody who works out 30 fucking hours a day.
Yes.
And
exactly.
You work 30 hours a day. So therein lies the difference.
And if somebody that's, you know, you're looking at pictures of people that are personal trainers or people that, you know,
they're influencers.
Exactly. That are just sitting at home getting paid to go to the gym.
To do this.
Yes,
exactly.
And how is it that somebody with 0.5 or 0.0005% body fat always finds me on Instagram and says, oh, I'm a personal trainer with 154 million followers. Don't you want to be my friend? And I'm following two people. Yeah, I don't think you really want to be my friend. You just want that extra number.
See.
Now, some of them I give the number because I'm like, hi. you know, I'm going to sit right here on this couch and I'm going to have another cocktail.
I'm going to spend 10 minutes with you in the morning, honey.
Yes. Oh, look at that. Yeah. Oh, that t-shirt's a little long. That's a little large. Mm-mm. And I mean, because, you know, they have just decimated Tumblr for fuck's sake. So now I have to look to other things.
And you got to stop liking things on Twitter because everybody else in your feed gets to see what you like.
Oh, Cynthia's mother, Gigi, called me out one time. She said to Cynthia, does Dan like every porno star on earth? Does any of the people Dan like ever wear clothes?
I'm like, oh, shit.
Nope, not normally.
And it's like, oh, so Twitter says Dan like this. George, wouldn't you like to like this as well? I was like, oh.
So I looked up the advertisement for Chubbies or Chubby.
All right.
It looks like a lot of it's Lane Bryant.
Lane Bryant.
Oh, so that's the younger version of the older version. Yes. All right.
I forgot about Lane Bryant, actually.
Well, girl.
You got a package from Lane Bryant just yesterday. You have not forgot about it.
You need to stay out of my UPS deliveries, bitch.
It was that waist trainer you bought.
Bitch, don't lie. I got three, honey. Last time I was able to get in one was two weddings ago, though.
Popped a button. Without an eye.
Broke the mirror on the wall, honey. It flucked so hard. It's like...
Years ago, Rick and I went with Mitzi and Mitzi's mom to an Oscar party.
Oh, that was the best time ever, though.
It was not the best time
ever.
It was
the best
horrible.
Time ever. Warrior for Jesus. Yeah, that's Mitzi's mom. Hi, Mitzi's mom.
It was January, and it was rainy, and it was humid. I don't know how that happened, but I wore a bodysuit under my suit and tie.
Yes.
I'm here to tell you, I nearly had to take the scissors out. To get that fucking thing off during the Oscar party because I could not breathe anymore. Screw girdles. That's just not right.
But wait, this was the same party that we were nominated for an Oscar, and I just
where Rick's job was nominated.
Yeah, not we.
Not we. Queer Magnolias. We aren't there yet.
Next year.
Well, yeah, exactly. Sorry, the company I work for. We were nominated for an Oscar, and we thought for sure this was the year because of what all the other films that were in the category. And we didn't win it. We lost to another film. I won't say who, but boy, that party went from so much fun. We were at 100 to we went to minus 100 in about 3 seconds. And I looked over at Mitzi and I was like, I'm going to flip some goddamn tables. She was like, do we need to leave? And her mom was having such a good time. I kind of backed down. I was like, I don't want to get away with that.
How funny is that, you know, Rick was up for one of those little award thingies, a little Oscar thing. And he gets upset. It was my girdle that was killing me.
I mean,
this is about body image, not about a little statuette, right?
Talking about waist trainers.
Uh-huh, girl. Tame that dragon.
Breaking mirrors.
Pull it tighter. Tighter.
I can't breathe, but it don't matter. Just keep pulling. In my entire life, I've never felt such an intense pressure to ever be fit or to look a certain way as I did in the years when I was bartending.
No.
And as a bartender, you obviously want to look good. People respond to that, but they also they see the body first, then it's the personality second.
Yeah.
But I was a valley bartender for quite a while, and I had developed a pretty solid following, and I guess that may have gone to my head a little bit.
And which valley was this?
The San Fernando Valley.
San Fernando Valley.
That's right.
You're in Los Angeles?
Yeah, in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
And I wanted to move over to WeHo, and I wanted to become a WeHo bartender, and I very quickly learned I did not have the body for a WeHo bartender. And so then I thought, well, I'll just pick up my little pumpkins and take them right on over to Silver Lake.
Come on, pumpkins.
That's it.
And when I got to Silver Lake, I can only assume while it wasn't so much, I mean, I was in decent shape at that point. I would say I would fit into the scene, but I feel like the WeHo experience had gotten to me so badly that it must have just shown in the attitude because I didn't fit that Silver Lake attitude at all. And they're like, no.
No room at the inn, honey.
Nope.
Exactly. Get in where you can fit in, and I guess that was the valley.
Well, you know, talking about West Hollywood, I remember so well when I first moved here, and my roommate, or the person I moved out here with, really wanted to live in West Hollywood. That was like the big dream for him, to move here and live in West Hollywood. I'm like, oh, that'll be great. It's going to be a town full of gays. It's going to be like so accepting and loving, and it's just going to be like everything you think San Francisco is supposed to be in an Armistead Maupin book. Like, it's going to be
And then you show up.
And then you show up, and it is none of those things. And I have never seen people that look like these people, because I'm moving from New Orleans and from before that, North Carolina, where people look like normal people. Yeah, everybody right. in every different yeah. shape.
A lot of summer teeth. Summer here, summer
gone. Yes, ma'am. And then you move to West Hollywood, where everybody's got that perfect body and no clothes on and you know, like tank tops. And
like, where do these fucking people come from?
They're
cloned or something. It's weird.
It's insane. It's like, yeah, it's like a Ken doll factory.
So a unique thing that sort of buffered a little bit for me, besides 88 to 99 and living in Miami, was I used to go to Washington, D.C. a lot from North Carolina. And I swear, in the 80s, there couldn't have been prettier men anywhere in the world than Washington, D.C. So I was a little bit more attuned to it for when I got here.
Well, I would think Miami was also full of people.
Miami was, because in the years I lived there, it was the number one place for magazine shoots in the entire world.
Right. Beautiful. Yeah.
So everybody was gorgeous. And of course I was too. So actually, so one nice thing is, and I do want to say, because I did have acne very badly from like the age of 9 till 18, but it was the worst from 9 to 14 or 15. And I mean, I was riddled with it.
Well, girl, you can't tell now. Your skin looks great.
And that is a blessing. I don't know exactly what happened.
Semen.
Now, it could have been that. It could have been that bad living, lots of booze. I never put soap on my face. It could be a lot of things.
Just Vaseline.
Just Vaseline,
lots
honey.
Lots of protein.
Absolutely. So it actually sort of turned around for me. And I do remember when I lived in Miami, and even living here, I quickly realized that there's a big difference in the gay world of being pretty or cute and being handsome. I was not handsome. I was pretty and cute, not always on the same day, but I was rarely handsome. Now that I got a lot more white hair, I think I'm just daddy. But much to my dismay, but that Clorox may come back. You never can tell. But it's funny, because I have also noticed that sometimes you meet a gay person and I will say, oh my gosh, how cute you are. And some gay people are offended by that, because they so want to be handsome, because they equate handsome to masculinity, which, okay, whatever. If that's your equation, that's fine. But it isn't to me. I just think you're cute. So, you know, it's better saying I think you're ugly.
Well, there are alternatives, guys.
There are. There are indeed. And it does.
And on that note,
it does bring up, I think I mentioned this before, but I will mention it again. You know, there was this one phrase in the South that I always hated, when they said, oh, big as two sides of the barn, honey, but she got a real pretty face.
See?
But a face, honey, but a face.
Well, I don't know about y'all, but I'm about to get a little bit thirsty. It's warm in here.
As long as it's just ice cubes and a wedge of iceberg lettuce.
A squeeze of lime.
Exactly. That's right. We're going to have a little water and lemon with a cucumber float, because it's about body image.
Fuck y'all. Bring it. Shall we go on outside, y'all?
Let's mosey. There you go. See you on the front porch, y'all.
See you in a minute. Welcome out to the front porch, y'all.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Yay.
Hi. What is this?
Danny, what is this beautiful pink drink?
You know, since we've been talking about body image, and it is coming up on summertime and getting my pool body, and I thought I'd make a drink that won't help my pool body at all. This is called Honey Thyme Lemonade.
Oh.
Well, honey is thyme.
Cheers to that, honey.
Cheers.
Cheers. Honey thyme.
Oh, it's like, pretty in pink.
Darling. Tastes like an old-fashioned summer to me.
Well, it is.
Is this Crystal Light?
Close. It's Minute Maid lemonade and good vodka. It's got to be good, you know. Like Ina would say, honey, get that good vodka.
Get that good goose. Vodka.
Get right? That goose vodka. Cranberry and a little bit of homemade honey water, like a simple syrup.
Oh, it's delicious.
Easy to make and so delicious.
And easy to drink.
Easy to drink, honey.
And it makes a big batch. So, you know, you
and can we love a big
friends
batch.
Over or you can get fucked up on your own. Who cares?
Slide down the wall and make mad passionate love on the carpet.
Just don't leave a stain, girl.
Right. Do it on the AstroTurf. You can wash it off.
Close it down.
Can you do it outside on the flagstone?
Yeah. Hell no.
You can sign that your back, honey. Right. Come on now.
Yeah, but I could hose it off easier.
Hose down that trough.
Oh, no. That's,
whoops. A moment of silence for the trough.
That's every third Sunday.
Whether it needs it or not.
Fill it up with ice.
Get it hosed down.
Show you champagne in it for brunch.
Beer on the cheap end.
On the deep end.
Right.
Beer on the cheap end. Champagne on the deep end.
Right.
Hashtag that, honey.
That's true. Okay. Well, and you put the beer closest to the front. Because son, you want all them cheap bitches to get that beer and keep on going, honey.
You put the domestic beer in front. You put the nice shit in the back.
That shit with the horses, honey, it goes right up front.
Right. Oh, Lord.
So, Jake, have you got a honey box over there, honey?
Can you get your hand into the honey pot? Let's see what we got.
Oh, nicknames.
Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. So Southern.
South is littered with it, honey.
Girl, Goober. Yeah. Goober Pile, anybody? Goober?
That's from your neck of the woods.
That is your neck of the woods.
Cooter. Anybody remember Cooter?
Well, Cooter was Dukes of Hazzard, honey.
That's right. Cooter was Dukes of Hazzard.
I actually met Cooter once at the Parkwood Mall. He had a signing.
Oh, shit.
Oh, I don't even know what. Well, you know what? We're good. I believe you.
Parkwood Mall, honey.
That's where they had the cemetery. The cemetery out back wasn't a darling.
They did indeed.
I mean, the South does have some cute little nicknames for some people, right?
Did you have a nickname, Rick?
Actually, I did. In elementary school, I was called Ricky Tikki Tavi a lot. And then...
Hot like lava?
And then in my early years of coming out, I think when I was 17 or 18, I did a little bit of modeling. local modeling for
the
Kmart, honey.
Little
the local. Husky department at Sears.
Chubbies.
Turn to the left. Turn to the right.
Stand up, sit down, fight, fight, fight.
Razzmatazz and a poop poopy doo.
Oh, we want to see those modeling pictures. Lord.
Y'all not going to let me get this out of you. I knew I should have said it.
Were you in
way.
Parachute pants?
I was, yes.
And a merry-go-round.
Color block.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yes, the color block too, honey.
Help me, Jesus.
No, but my stage name.
Stage name.
Jim Steele.
I wish it was that simple.
I'm a bend over.
Rickashawn.
Rickshaw.
Right. Rickshaw. How many people Rickashawn. Did you pull around?
I didn't come up with the name. The guy that was organizing the show did, but that was my stage name, Rickashawn.
I bet he was a little creepy, wasn't he? Did he take the pictures of Olin?
Did he have a poodle and a hole in his basement that he threw you into?
That's something else.
It puts
else
a lotion
right
on its skin.
Ouch.
Maybe.
So now that you've opened that can of worms, I'd really like to know what you modeled, sweet. Poodle skirt?
It started out hair shows, because remember, I...
Oops. Sorry. I've composed myself. Now, say again, you were doing hair shows?
I feel like I've seen that movie. Monique's in it.
This is why I don't tell personal stories at this fucking podcast.
This is a hot comb story if I ever heard one. Right,
ouch,
here.
Mama, that was my ear.
Don't worry, Van Gogh only had one.
Oh, my God.
Who wants to know about nicknames? I want to know about Rick's hot comb experience. It's all on you, honey. Spotlight's on you.
That's where Rick and Sean come from. It's like, Outon.
I bet the Neutron Dance was playing in the background, wasn't it? The Porno Sisters.
Lord, it's getting hot in here. Anyway, nicknames. Spotlight's what warm, nicknames you got? I know you have some nicknames in your family.
Oh, so...
You know, I'm going to edit all this shit.
No, you're not either. So I didn't have a nickname because my mom had one and all of her siblings had one. And my mom was like, hell no, there ain't going to be no nickname.
That's right. You were so Danny.
I was. And that is my name. And that's Dan, it. Dan, yeah. Or Daniel is Danny. So, but my mom's nickname is Snooks, or it was Snooks. And so that one wasn't so bad. But so her Snooks. Siblings were, let's see, Guab and...
Guab
and Gump, Numbo and Skinny, and Snooks. There were five of them.
I'm going to need a flow chart.
Precisely. So three of the five stuck. My oldest aunt and my uncle, theirs did not. That was Guab and Gump. They didn't stop. They didn't stick. But my mom's middle sister was Numbo. And Mama called Aunt Hazel Numbo most of her life. And Skinny, my mom's sister that's closer to her in age, and is anything but skinny. I mean, anything but skinny. Two sides of the barn and not skinny. But that nickname stuck with her whole life. I mean, there were people who didn't even know what her name was. And that's like Stumpy and Tater. Stumpy's real name is Audrey.
You had a Tater too.
Yeah, we had a Tater. We had a rabbit. We had Blackage. Oh, no, that was actually his real name. So we had some hell.
Rewind. Stumpy and Tater?
Stumpy and Tater were married. And
were they two men?
No, man and woman. Stumpy.
Which one's the woman?
Stumpy.
No.
Like Ren and Stimpy, but she was Stumpy and Tater, you know? So it's just... But it's funny. Most everyone who knew her had no idea her name was Audrey.
And beautiful.
Precisely. Stumpy, and if you called her
Audrey.
If you called her Audrey, she would tell you to your face, it's Stumpy. Don't call me Audrey.
God, she embraced
She embraced
good for
it.
Her.
I'm here to take. No. I mean, Stumpy, maybe if it's a guy that's, you know, a little Stumpy, baby. You know what I'm saying to you?
Or Tater. That works too. Uh-huh.
he's a dictator.
Something.
Spud. I had a cousin named Tater. Actually.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
But that wasn't his real name, obviously.
No, it wasn't. They're not real sure. Yeah. But Stumpy wasn't Audrey's real name. No, so it's a nickname.
No, it was. And it's funny because, so in Eastern North Carolina, there were a lot of nicknames, or people had two names, Dalton Ray, you know, Sherry Lynn.
Something a lot of those.
That's for sure.
Yeah. But so there were a lot of fun nicknames or nicknames that people got that stuck. But then, of course, there were a lot of nicknames that really weren't so good because they were making fun of people.
BJ?
Don't remember talk about my your mama.
Yes.
She did not give herself that nickname, and you quickly took it back.
She didn't take a shine to that, did she?
Oh, no, honey. Excuse me. Take a lick into that.
Who do I see about a BJ around here?
Well, that's funny because growing up, so my name's George, obviously, and my dad's also George, so I'm George Jr.
Hi, okay. George.
Exactly. Thank you. Hi, Rick. To keep it separate, I was GJ when I was little. So I can relate to the BJ of it all, honey. Oh,
BJ and GJ.
Exactly.
I love it.
Exactly. And I had two, and the two cousins that I lived with in Lucama, because you know everything happened in Lucama.
Well, mostly.
Because I, you know, my nickname was GJ, so that's just what it was. But my two cousins, my grandpa referred to as Little Bit and Big Boy.
See? I like that.
And my sister's name is Michelle. And as a kid growing up, I couldn't say Michelle, so I started calling her Shell. And that became her name for the longest time. I think I was probably in my 20s when I started calling her by her full name.
Maybe you didn't know what her name was.
Well, I feel like that's just a shortened version of her actual name, as opposed to a nickname. I feel like Stumpy is definitely a nickname.
I did look up not long ago, because I am curious every now and then. It appears that both Stumpy and Tater are still alive.
Oh, I love that.
They're way into their 80s at this point.
Stumping into the 80s. Right? we had a neighbor named Junebug.
We did.
His name was Junebug.
We had a junior girl named Junebug.
He was a junior, and so they called him Junebug for short.
That's cute. That's actually really cute.
That is cute. I mean, that's something you can live with, you know?
So obviously with nicknames, there's the ones that we embrace, and then there's the ones that we're given by people that we don't embrace.
We don't like.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So should we talk about those?
Cocksucker?
Cocksucking whore.
Rick, that is on your business card.
Oh, wait. You're talking about the ones we don't embrace.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sort of proud of that one. Well, you know, so we did talk about body images. A cousin of mine called me a fat ass one time, and he was angry at me at that minute.
Stabbed him.
Yeah, right. I thought about taking the ice pick to that bitch. But anyway. But, you know, it's funny because people, if they're angry, they find the one thing that they find your Achilles heel. And of course, calling me a fat ass was my Achilles heel. But, you know, I saw people who had poor eyesight that people would whisper, oh, you know, look at four eyes over there and stuff like that. And it's so cruel. You know, children often are trying to get ahead in this world and in their life, and they're trying to find their way. And they do learn by osmosis or nurture. If they have a poor self-image, they're going to look for something to torture someone else with.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen some four-eyed people that are damn good looking. So.
Oh, I mean, you do wear a pair of $1,000 glasses, honey, so fuck them.
Thank you.
For me, it's probably curly Q and curls a lot and stuff like that. It was always about the hair.
Was it Sir Curls a Lot?
It was always about the hair.
Hi. Up next is Sir Curls a Lot in a pair of parachute pants from Mary Girl.
Ricochon has left the stage. Sir Curls a Lot is coming out next.
Lovely lady lumps.
So, hey, we don't talk about that show.
Right. So it's funny because Rick and I have probably the exact opposite hair from each other. Mine is stick straight. I mean, it is. It take a half a can of hairspray to get it to stand up when it's long. Rick has hair that's just not stick straight.
It will not. It's like if you ever seen that scene in Interview with a Vampire when cuts her hair and then she comes out of the room screaming and it's turned back to normal. That's me. Every time I try to do something with my hair to make it straight, 20 minutes later, right back where it was.
Well, it's funny. Dan and I both have straight hair.
Yes.
And Rick and Jacob both have curly hair.
Yes.
So we've got all the bases covered.
We do indeed. And between the four of us, we've had every color imaginable on earth.
That's
right. And maybe for season three, we'll all have a different color hair. So I do think that, you know, oftentimes, as I've said before, you know, they're body image things that we're not overly happy with. And obviously, people clue into that, and they will pick at it and pick at it and pick at it.
When they see your weakness, yeah.
Yes, they do. Precisely.
They smell blood,
the juggler.
Yep.
Precisely. They'll look for that nickname to find something to name you.
That's a really good point. I mean, hence our name, Queer Magnolias.
That's right.
And, you know, I've heard that term is, even though we embrace it now, at some point it was offensive and a nickname that you did not want to
have. 100%. You know, queer for a generation before us was the equivalent of faggot for us.
Yes.
Like it had that power and that weight.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is why I think when we all sort of started ideating what we wanted to call this, it was very important for us to use the word queer to take back our power.
No, you're right. You're completely. Thank you for bringing that up, Jacob. That's such a good
point. Perfect. Yes. Good point.
Good point.
Right. So, and it is important for each of us to take our power where we need it. You know, so we took queer back to use for Queer Magnolias. We talked about a million different names. Gay Magnolias. It didn't have the same ring. We wanted something that was
Southern
a little
Decadence
shocking.
Southern Decadence was a very strong front runner. Yep. Yes. So.
And so we wanted something that would embrace who we are, to be something different, but also because we wanted it to be
empowering.
Empowering and a little salacious.
And perhaps. I think we wanted something that was very strong and very provocative and then something super sweet.
Yep, totally.
Put that together.
Well, we're just proud of ourselves.
I mean, apparently. That's so now you know why we're called the Queer Magnolias.
See?
Yes.
So this cocktail is starting to make its way to the bottom of the glass, but before we go inside, I think that no nickname front porch episode would be complete without talking about North Kakalaki.
Shut that shit down.
No!
Shut that shit down.
I hate it, too.
It's the worst.
But it exists, and we should talk about it.
Lots of things exist that we don't have to acknowledge.
But do you know where it comes from?
Just before we get to where it comes from, I was probably 45 years old the first time I heard that phrase. That's the dumbest
fucking
phrase.
30 years ago.
Right.
Like the rest of us.
But it's the dumbest fucking phrase on earth. It doesn't make any sense.
I can't stand it. I agree.
I don't even know who even invented that shit. It's stupid.
I agree. I think it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
But I don't think anyone from North Carolina ever called North Carolina North Kakalaki.
That's exactly my point.
That somebody else. And I remember the person that said it. And I'm like, shut up, you're dumb.
I don't know, Dan. I feel like that ride or die chick from Cove City on their Wikipedia page might use that word.
Well, now you have a point.
I think we're going to have to tag her on social media.
Oh, Lord, please don't. I'm hiding most of my family.
Jacob, can you look up where North Kakalaki came from? I think it came from some – they weren't from North Carolina.
Precisely.
I don't even know. Is it C-A-C-K Kakalaki? C-A-C-K-A-L – A-C-K-I?
Girl, you failed that spelling bee. Oh, yeah.
Rick has been all the way into the Honey Time Lemonade, honey. All the way.
Oh, look, here's the Urban Dictionary definition.
What does it say?
A nickname for North Carolina mainly used by people, military transplants who are originally from the West Coast.
Not from North Carolina.
Especially from California and specifically SoCal. The word is used in good humor, often to make light fun of the redneck ways.
Honey, the only good humor right now is some more Honey Time Lemonade.
I'm out for that.
All right. Well, as my Aunt Lucy used to say, my ice cubes are dry.
Yes, honey. Let's go in. Melted. Let's go in and wet them up again.
Let's do it.
See y'all soon.
See y'all next week.
Bye, you guys.
Bye.
Queer Magnolias is a weekly podcast hosted by Rick Clifton, Danny White, and George Skinner, and produced by yours truly, Jacob McGinnis. You can find us everywhere you find your podcasts, so please take a few minutes to leave a rating or review. We definitely look forward to hearing from you. If this is your first time joining us, please subscribe to receive the next episode automatically. Thank you for following us on Twitter at Queer Magnolias and on Instagram at Queer Magnolias Podcast. Or you can email us at queermagnoliaspodcast@gmail.com.